Please open your Bibles to the book of John, the third chapter. John 3, page 1117 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the 15th and 16th verses. We'll read these verses all together in unison. Then we'll turn to two other scriptures after that. Let's stand, please, as is our custom to do, for the reading of the Word of God. And let's read those verses 15 and 16. Ready? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn now to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll be reading the 17th verse. That verse only. Oh, page 1233. All right, the 17th verse. Let's read it, please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And that's page 1312 in your Scofield Bible. The 23rd verse of the first chapter of 1 Peter. And let's read that, please. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And let's pray, Father, how we thank thee. You've given us this day, this Lord's Day, a place to assemble, and a place that no doubt will become very famous in history, and famous even now, for a place where thy word is preached and where the crowds assemble and where souls are saved. We pray too that thou wouldst meet this day with us in power. Help us to gain that from thy word, which you would have us to know. So help us to be attentive. Help us to open our hearts and our minds. And help our preacher very specially. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody has said, if the Gospel of John were the only book in the Bible, there's enough gospel there to save the world. If the third chapter of John were the only part of the Bible, there's enough gospel to save the world. If the 16th verse of the third chapter were the only printed Bible we have, once again, there's enough gospel there to save the world. However, it is true that most people do not understand just what everlasting life is. Verse 15 says that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The last thing I did before I left my office this morning was check and be sure again. In my Greek New Testament, those were the word eternal in verse 15 and the word everlasting in verse 16 are the same Greek word. Most people do not understand what everlasting life is or what eternal life is. And this morning, I want to speak on the subject, just what is eternal life? Just what is eternal life? Our Heavenly Father, I come where I've come for 41 years nearly. Behind the same piece of wood, just redecorated every time we bought new furniture, to speak largely to the same people. Some of these people have been here, many of them, for 41 years. Same book, same building we've had for years, same preacher, same people. Same old story, but it never grows old. The wonderful story of Christ and his love.
speak through me to the hearts of the people. Make me a little piece of conduit today through which can flow blessings, mercy, and grace. Amen. I'll ask you not to take pictures now. Let me see for the next 29 minutes or so if I can explain to you and clarify to you what everlasting life is. It is promised to those who believe in John 3:15 and 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so was the Son of Man lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then in verse 16, that very famous verse, God promises to us everlasting life. 74 years ago, this coming September 25th, I was born in a little town called Italy, Texas. Brother Colston, I want you to, let it be best here, Brother Wolf, I want you to stand right where you are, please. And Brother Wolf is going to represent our life, our physical life. Now, I'm going to tell you what everlasting life is. Number one, everlasting life is not simply this life living forever. That is not everlasting life. Number two, everlasting life is not more of the same forever. Everlasting life is not going into extra innings. Everlasting life is not an overtime. It is not an extension of what we now have. Everlasting life is not a suffix to this life, nor is it a re-enlistment or an addendum to this life. Everlasting life is not something someday, it is something today. Everlasting life is not just in the sweet by and by, though it is in the sweet by and by, it also is in the sweet here and now. Now follow me carefully. Here is a physical life. I would have another one stand to represent the soul, but no need for that. This, God, I can will for right now. Would you stand, Brother Depper, here? I'm going to let, as this is old hat to many of you, but I'll go into something a little different after a while. This is the body, and this is the soul. Now, the body and the soul are not eternal. They will not live forever. Nor is the everlasting life promised to either one. Now, the truth is, Jesus said, don't be afraid of those that can destroy just the body, but the one can destroy both body and soul into hell. In hell. Now, this body has 70, a few more, a few less. This body and soul have a period of time assigned to them. Now, this body and soul must do something. Now, by the way, you can do all you want to this body, but you can't make it live forever. Or you can't make it deserve to live forever. You can keep this body clean. See, this body never smokes a cigarette, never drinks any alcoholic beverage, stays clean and pure sexually, and so forth. But it's still a body, and it's still going to die. You can improve the soul all you want to. Make the soul sweet and kind and merciful and loving, but the soul is still going to die because Jesus said it will someday be destroyed, can be destroyed, both body and soul. So death is a sign to both body and soul. So if this person lives beyond the death of the body and soul, something else has to happen. So Jesus comes along and says, I will make it possible so you can have a new creature come, and you can have not just become a new creature, but have a new creature. Now, the moment that I trusted Christ, or you trusted Christ, somebody else came to live, and that somebody was a new creature. Those of you who heard this many times, don't leave me. I'm going to launch off into something a little different in a few moments. Now listen carefully as I explain it. You've got to get this creature alive. Man was created a threefold creature, body, soul, and spirit. The body and soul cannot live forever. The spirit can live forever. So you've got to get this spirit back alive if you live forever, because someday the body is going to die and the soul is going to die, and then you have the spirit which can and will live forever. Now, if you're here this morning, you can live a good life and doctor up that body and doctor up that soul all you want to, but you're going to die. And I don't care how good a life you live, how many churches you join, how many ordinances you take, how many sacraments you observe. If you don't get that alive again, you're going to go to hell and spend eternity there. You've got to be born. That's what Jesus meant when he said, ye must be born again. You see, this body and soul over here were born of the genes of your mother and father. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says that we're not redeemed with corruptible seed. That's the seed of your mother and father. But the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. That's why nobody ever gets saved without the Word of God. All the testimonies you want to give will not get anybody saved. Somewhere, sometime, the incorruptible seed of this book I hold in my hand must be sown. That's why it's called regenerated. Regened, if you please. Regenerated. This body over here, and so we're born of the genes of mother and father. This one here, we're born of the incorruptible genes of the blessed Word of God. That's why we preach the Bible. That's why we exalt the Bible. That's why we teach the Bible. Because this Bible is the seed from which you're born again. Now then, listen to me carefully. I said again, the everlasting life is not simply living, Brother John, you can sit down, these living forever. Not more of the same, not extra innings, not overtime, not extension, not a suffix, not a reenlistment, not an addendum. It is today. Now, this life is a new life. This life is a different kind of life from that life. This life is a new quality of life. And this life is a never-ending life. Now, follow me carefully. Between the time that you were born again, and by the way, that means a new creature was placed beside in the old creature, and now you have an old nature and new nature. The Bible says an old man and a new man. And now, this one can never, it has a never-ending life. Now, hear me carefully. This life is a life that all believers will live after death. I don't leave you now. This is the sermon. Not the end of it, but it's the sermon. This new life, this is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. Christ in me, the hope of glory, makes a new creature, and that creature is eternal life. Now listen carefully. This life is a life all believers will live after death. So, death comes. This life is a life that all believers will live after death. Now stand back up. Don't leave me now. This life is also a life that is optional before death. It is not optional after death. Because that which is born again will live after death. It is compulsory at death that this life be lived. Because that's the only one left. But it is not compulsory until death. It is optional. So at salvation, I obtain this new life. This is eternal life. Eternal life is not you living forever just so you keep on living. No, eternal life is more than just a duration of life, but a quality of life. It is a new nature, if you please. Now that I say it again, I say this life will be lived. You will live this life after death. It is optional until death. Salvation, hear me, salvation only brings its availability. Are you listening? Salvation only brings its availability. I obtain it as salvation. It is in my pantry. It is in my closet. It is in my drawer. It is in my coffer. It is at my disposal. Most of you have eternal life, but you're not using eternal life. You will someday, when the body and soul die, you will live. Your eternal life is all you'll have. But until they die, you have a choice to live for eternal life or temporal life, and most of you are living for temporal life. This whole world is wrapped up with this life right here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about sin only. I'm talking about we're too wrapped up in ball games. We're too wrapped up in amusement parks. We're too wrapped up in pleasure. We're too wrapped up in things that will never, that will die. And bless God, here is a life that will never die. Born of the seed of eternal seed, incorruptible seed of a book that will never die.
And you, one of these days, you will not have the option. This is all you'll have. But between now and your death, you can choose to live temporally or you can choose to use the eternal life. It is at your disposal.
Thank you, fellows. I'll call you again in a minute. So, I have a daily choice. A daily choice. My daily choice is, which life shall I live? I will not have that choice at death. I will only have the new nature. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I will have then no option because I will only have eternal life left because temporal life is gone. But as long as temporal life lives, I have the old nature and the new nature. I have temporal life, I have eternal life, and I have a choice. And it's time that God's redeemed people spend more time on the new life than the old life. Our churches are wrapped up in the new life. Our music is wrapped up in the temporal. Go to the average church and listen to the stinking rock music, the religious words, and see if they're not trying to appeal to the carnal nature of man. Bless God, that song we sang a while ago, the choir sang, I think it was, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. That's new life singing. That's the new nature singing. But this little contemporary kind of worship, which is no worship at all, it is simply trying to take the eternal message of Almighty God and make it appeal to the temporal life. Bless God, it's time God's people decided to live for the new life. Eternal life, if you please. So as I said a while ago, this eternal life that I possess, it's an option whether I choose to use it or not. It is in my pantry, as I said. It is in my closet. It is in my drawer. It's in my coffer at my disposal. I have it now. John 3:15. Have everlasting life, eternal life. John 3:16. Have everlasting life. John 3:18. Have life. John 5:24. He that hears my word, believes on in me, hath everlasting life. I have it now. But it is not necessarily being used now. It is available until death. But it then will be compulsory. So hear me carefully. Have a daily choice. Therefore, you can sit down. I'm just going to use the two. Have a daily choice every day. Shall I live for this man or this man? That was understanding. I have to pay some attention to this old life. I have to eat. I have to sleep. I have to exercise. I have to pay some attention to this old life. So I'm not saying that we don't live for this life at all. I'm saying we magnify this life right here. That's what eternal life is. You think eternal life, I'm going to live forever. But the life that you're going to live forever is available to live even now in your own schedule. So every day I have a choice. Follow me carefully. At death, I will go to heaven. So at death, I will go to heaven. Now, until death, I can bring heaven over here where I am now. Because heaven is eternal life. That's what heaven is. Christ in me. The hope of glory. That's what eternal life is. That's what everlasting life is. So, now then, one of these days, I am going to go to heaven, and then I will only have eternal life, and then I will only be interested in eternal things. But until that time, I have a choice. I may live tomorrow when I get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to live tomorrow for either one of those fellows right here. I mean, predominantly, both must be cared for, but I have a choice to live. The Bible says, put on the new man. Put off the old man. That's not preaching divorce, but no. Put off the old man. Anybody home this morning? Put on the new man. Every day, I'm supposed to put on the new man. But you young people say,
what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong?
I'm tired of that question. There are a lot of things you could live a whole life with this fellow right here, and do very little wrong. It's not a matter of a good fella here. It's a matter of living for that which will never die. So, everlasting life or eternal life is a life that never will end, but it's a life that you don't have to wait till you die to start. So, salvation, thank you, Phyllis. Salvation assures that I will have it. And salvation assures that I may have it now. Now, what is eternal life? Listen carefully. What is this eternal life? It's the life lived for others.
It is not just Christ in me.
Get this now.
It is not just Christ, listen to me, in me, but Christ through me. It is not just being a vessel. It is being a conduit.
I am supposed to come to God and get things from God, but they're not supposed to stop here. I'm supposed to come to God and say, dear God, I have some needs. My needs are to satisfy the needs of those behind me or those down here. And so this eternal, see, temporal life is living for what you can get. Eternal life is living for what you can get to give. So, eternal life, what is eternal life? It is not the Bible in me, but the Bible through me. These Bible lovers, so-called deeper lifers, they're just storing up Bible. That's not eternal life. That's temporal life. That's selfish life.
But eternal life is not the Bible coming to me, but the Bible coming through me to you. That's what's happening now. I am taking God's eternal word, and it is flowing through me. I'm a conduit. That's exactly what eternal life is all about.
Hear me carefully. It is not just being filled with the Holy Spirit, but overflowing with the Holy Spirit.
Too much is said about the fullness of Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Spirit. That's in the linear tense. Be ye therefore be being filled. Be ye therefore be being filled and being filled and being filled and being filled. Well, why in the name of common sense do you get filled if you're filled? Because you overflow. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to fill you. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bless others through you.
Two questions. One is, how may I obtain my option? Please listen. Two of you stand. I was born this life 74 years ago, September 25th. Almost 11 years later, I obtained eternal life. I said a while ago, every day you have a choice. Will you live primarily for this life, or you live primarily... Now, don't understand me. I'm not saying y'all neglect this fellow at all. This fellow, every once in a while, needs some real good nourishment, such as Whopper Juniors and cheese quarter pounders. And other health food. I'm not looking at Dr. Cal's Peter right now. I'm looking the other way. But this fella, you got to take care of him because he's where he lives. Listen carefully. For you to get this fella in shape, just to get this fella in shape, is carnality. Are you listening?
You weightlifters trying to be Mr. America of 2001. Boy, you like to look at your physique. I mean, that's this fella. But the purpose of getting this fella in good shape is because this is where he lives. And the new man lives in the old man. And the reason to keep this body in good shape is not just to keep this body in good shape. It's so I can be healthy enough to walk up behind this pulpit and preach to you and comfort you and strengthen you. And you likewise can do the same thing. I'm trying to say, you've got a choice to make. Will I live for this man or this man? Will I live for temporal life or eternal life?
Now, how do you make that choice? How many times have I said this? How many hundreds of times have I said this? Every morning when I wake up, about 10:30. Every morning when I wake up, 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake up about that time. As soon as I get up, I go to the washroom and get on my knees and I pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. What is that prayer? Holy Spirit, make me a conduit today through which your blessings can flow to somebody else. 9 o'clock in the morning, I pray the same prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes.
at noon every day or as soon as I can. If I'm preaching, as soon as I can get alone, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or as soon as I can, 6 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night before I go to bed, 7 times a day. I try to keep about that schedule 7 times a day. I yield myself to you. I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. What am I doing? I'm simply saying today, Holy Spirit, I want to live eternal life and not just temporal life. And if I live temporal life, it's to provide a proper dwelling place for the eternal life which lives in me so I can better dispense eternal life.
Oh, I wish I could get a hold of you and get this truth over to you. Thank you, fellows. Now listen carefully. How may I use my option? I yield myself to the Holy Spirit daily. I wish everybody in this room, no less than 3 times a day, no less than 3, but get on your knees and look up to God and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today, and I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. Now the question comes, how may I obtain its availability? Here I am this morning, or here you are this morning, sitting in the pews. You may be a decent man, but you're still a man. You may be a decent person, but you're still a person. You may be a good old nature, but you're still the old nature, and the old nature can't live when you die. And you've got one choice of two. You can die here and go to hell and burn forever in the lake of fire and brimstone, or you can have the new creature brought to life by faith in Jesus Christ. And then you have eternal life. Now, when this man dies right here, bless God, that which was born years ago at the Fernwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, will never die. I said, will never die. But until this man dies, I must constantly be yielding to this person, because this is eternal life. This is everlasting life. But John, you can sit back down. So that means that I offer you everlasting life. By everlasting, I don't mean you're going to live forever. I don't mean that at all. Though you are going to live forever. But not only do I offer you an extension of life, as it were, or a period of life that will never end, but I offer you a certain quality of life. I'm so glad when God saved me, he just didn't give me more of the same. I'm glad God gave me a desire for that book, a desire to walk with him, a desire for the souls of men, a desire to help people, a desire to be a blessing to people. I want to live for the nation, but I've got to get him born first. Well, now, how can I get this fellow born over here? Join the church? I'm sorry. He just did. But the new nature is not up yet. Oh, take communion, sacraments, confess your sin to the priest? Not up yet. Oh, I know what. Take communion. Oh, I know. Live a good life. Or observe the Sabbath. I know. No. He's still there. Let me tell you something. You're a sinner, like all of us are. Sinners are lost. There's a payment on sin. That payment is eternal hell. But God came to the earth in the form of a man. His name was Jesus. And Jesus Christ went to the cross after living a perfect life, not owing his own sin debt because he sinned not, but paying a debt he did not owe. Now you owe a sin debt you have not paid. He paid a sin debt he does not owe. He says to you, if you will admit that you're a sinner, admit that you're lost, admit that you can't save yourself, and accept me as your Savior, I will transfer my credit to your debit, because I've already transferred your debit to my credit. So he who was perfect became sin, so that we who are imperfect might become righteous, his righteousness. And the moment that you, would you be willing to realize that you're a sinner? Would you realize, you understand that you're going to hell if you die? You believe that Jesus Christ, virgin born, lived a sinless life and went to Calvary and paid a debt it did not owe? You understand that was your debt? Are you willing to trust him as your Savior? Take my hand. Right hand, please. Oh, and now that moment, faith was counted for righteousness. Good deeds are not counted for righteousness. Church membership is not counted for righteousness. Baptism is not counted for righteousness. Confirmation is not counted. But by faith, that
faith was counted for righteousness, and a new nature now lives.
You can have that new nature this morning. I don't care who you are. You can have that new nature. Now somebody says, I know somebody said he got saved, but hadn't changed his life a bit. He got this fellow alive over here, but he's starving him to death. See? He's living over here. Now, he has eternal life in store. It is optional now. He has not used his option that he has to have eternal life now. He has it in store. He has it in the closet. It's available. But the carnal Christian, and there is such a thing as a carnal Christian, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the carnal Christian is living for this life, though he has available this life. I'm talking to folks today, all over this room. You're a child of God. Your name is in heaven. You're going to heaven when you die, but you live in hell now. You don't have to, because you have eternal life in you today. Thank you. Listen carefully. We're talking about a new birth. Don't leave me. A birth must have genes. Regenerated. Regeneration. A birth must have genes. This body came from the genes of my mom and daddy. Let me give you the genes to the new life. Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, you're about to get born again. The genes are coming. Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man sin in the world, death by sin, so death passed for all men, but all have sinned. Romans 5:8, but God committed the love toward us, and while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, I just gave you the genes. Now you have the genes. Put your faith in Christ and a new life will come. That's why it says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. You will have eternal life at death. Boy, I'd like to grab you and shake you on this. You will have eternal life at death if you're saved. You may have eternal life now. Hear me carefully, I'm through. When you choose this life, you put the psychiatrist out of business. You won't need to be jumped. You won't need the jumper cable of a bottle of whiskey. This life will, but not this life. You won't need your dope. You won't need your rock music to get you excited. You don't have to have a bunch of music to get you excited. Just simply quote, come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise, things of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, here's my heart, take and seat it for thy core, that's all you need. That's why you got Christian nervous breakdowns. I'm not talking about mental illness, you know that. That's why you got your divorce rate among Christians at ridiculously high. People that live over here seldom come to my office for marital counseling. In fact, it's just one of the couple lives over here. You probably wouldn't have too often, if ever. Hear me carefully. Thank God, one day, you're going to have this guy's going to die. And this guy is going to live forever. But why in the name of common sense don't you, while this guy is alive, let this guy? I thought of this old illustration. I've used it years ago, but I use it again in closing. It's been good night probably 35 years ago or more since Dr. Lee Robertson, when he was at Highland Park Baptist Church in Tennessee Temple College, asked me to come down and speak for him. He asked me because Dr. Charles Weigel was there, and Dr. Weigel was an evangelist, and they built a new building called the Weigel Music Center there at Tennessee Temple College, and Dr. Roberts and I were very close friends and still are. And so I went down to dedicate the Weigel Music Center. We had a big service and then went out in the street on a Friday night and I cut the ribbon. The mayor of the city was there. Congressman Brock was there and others. And we sang appropriate hymn and then dedicated the new building. I wanted to thank Dr. Weigel for inviting me. Weigel was up, probably 90 years of age by that time. I wanted to thank Dr. Weigel for inviting me to bring the message. It was his request that I bring the message. I brought the 137th Psalm. Don't put your harps on the willow trees. I couldn't find Dr. Weigel. I said, Dr. Robertson, where is Dr. Weigel? He said he's probably back in his apartment. We built a little apartment inside the new music building for him. And I'm sure he's tired. He's 90 years of age or more. And I'm sure he's tired. So he's probably back there in his little apartment. So I walked back in the back of the brand new building, knocked on Dr. Weigel's door. But before I did, I heard a noise. Heard hands clapping. I heard bed springs squeaking. I heard an old man's voice saying, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise the Lord! He had made a trampoline out of his bed. Had his shoes off with his shirt unbuttoned. The hair on his chest was showing and both hairs on his head were messed up. And Dr. Weigel was up on top of the bed jumping up and down having a spiritual fit. Glory to God! Dr. Weigel! Dr. Weigel! I kept hearing the bed springs squeaking. And I finally said, Dr. Weigel, it's Dr. Hiles. I heard his feet hit the floor. The old man comes to the door, opens the door, and there he stands, barefoot, shirt opened. I said, Dr. Weigel, what's going on in here? With a look of heaven on his face, he said, I'm just practicing for heaven. And from the time you get saved, to the time you die, you can practice for heaven if you want to. Some of you folks don't get there with no practice at all. And you're going to feel so uncomfortable shouting and praising God. And God's going to say, open your Bible to the third chapter of Jude and you're going to look for it. So, you got a choice. You will live forever if you trusted Christ. You will have eternal life of necessity. You can't lose it. You may have it while this man is still alive. So if you practice for heaven, when this fellow dies, you'll feel very, very comfortable in your new quarters and your new circumstances. Now this morning, thank you, this morning, if this man's not alive, you can get him alive by trusting Christ. You are a sinner. You are lost. You are going to hell. Jesus, the virgin-born, sinless Son of God, has come, lived a perfect life, owed no debt for sin, went to the cross, paid a debt he did not owe, so you will not have to pay the debt that you owe. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner, admit you're lost, admit that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, rose again for your justification, and rely upon Him, trust Him to save you. Immediately, eternal life is born, available until death, and compulsory after death. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, bless the message to the hearts of the people, please. Our heads are bowed. No one is leaving. Our eyes are closed.